most of y'all are coming in here know all of us.
Hello, and welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, we do.
Thank you to each of you for coming to join the pastoral care team in handling ministry needs in your class. They're so, I am excited for them that you guys are here. So far we have, what is this? What do we have inside? 2, 4, 6, 8? We're still breaking records here. How many? This is good. I'm excited.
We told her we didn't expect anybody to come.
And that was surprising.
We didn't think they
would come. Yeah, but
that was surprising to me because this is something that touches everybody's life. And so, my last 2 years of my life have been a testament to that. So I'm excited for them. I'm learning also. So, but tonight, Peggy and Pastor Rick, they're going to lead this team and explain everything that they do, all the services that they provide. And I hope that you guys are real miners, as Bridget says, and you take some nuggets away and share with your classes. So I'll turn it over to Peggy.
Great. All right. We are the Minister of Pastoral Care Team. As you can tell, we're all dressed alike. Pastoral Care has 14 different ministries. And the reason we have these ministries is to undergird your ministry in your LBS classes. Now, granted, not everybody is part of an LBS class. But our goal is to help them understand they need to be a part of that because you are the ones who do most of the ministering when there is a crisis. But truth be known, when you're sitting in that worship center on Sunday morning, most of the people down either side of you are going through some kind of crisis, and they really do just paint a face on and come in and out. I'm in the foyer most Sundays. And I see the people walking in and out. And I pick 4 or 5 as they're walking by and praying for them because I know that they are hurting inside. And we call it a Stephen Ministry kiosk in the foyer, but it's a pastoral care kiosk. On Sunday mornings, there aren't any counselors available, and there aren't any ministers available. Because they're all doing their own thing. So pastoral care is available on Sunday morning if somebody comes in a crisis. You'd be surprised how many people come in off the streets and say, something just pushed me this way, and I need help. And so we are always there to minister. We're either there in the foyer next to this sign, or one of our ministers, Rick or Dow, are in the pastoral care suite. How many of you know where the pastoral care office is? I should have asked that last time.
Yeah.
I know. The pastoral care office. How many of you know where the children's check-in area is? Okay. Well, if you go up to the rear entry to the worship center, there's restrooms and water fountain there. And pastoral care. So that's where we are.
All those big signs, they're right outside, so you'll see them.
And we set these outside our door so people know what our ministries are because we're the best kept secret in the church. We didn't even have a website for several years until we stomped our foot. And then we got on the church's website. But we're here to tell you, each one of our staff is going to tell you their area of responsibility for pastoral care so that you know that we are there for you to help you. We expect you to tell us the people who are in need so then we can come alongside you and help you. So the first one we're going to do, we're going to kind of go in a logical order. You have this handout. It is a rough draft of what is on the website. So you can always go back to it. And Dow is even going to show you how to get to that. But a little bit of information to help you remember what all of our ministries are. Logically, the first thing everybody thinks of when they think of pastoral care is funerals. And so, Denise, introduce yourself.
Denise Mutton. And, what I do in my office is I help coordinate the funerals. And
And so when someone loses a loved one, usually many times it's, we don't even know what to do, where to go, who to call, what to do. And so a lot of times an LBS class member will know a situation and they will, they can go, hey, I know what to do, I know where to steer you. And so we're the first place to go to in the church if a death has occurred. And then we can immediately contact the family, visit with them, talk to them, start the process of the funeral. And so we do funerals for them in our church. They're free of charge. We also help with the reception. It's also free of charge to the members and church members and to the community. If someone outside the church wants to come in and have a funeral as well, it's just our way of being able to minister to them. And so we're the first place to go to start that process, and we will help them, even help them with the funeral home and get in touch with the funeral home if that hasn't been able to be done yet. Also, the other thing that I do in our office is when someone has lost a loved one, we have a book series of four here, and that we send to family members over the course of the year. And each book, so about every 3 months, it would go out, and each book is written specifically for that time frame and that year, what they might experience emotionally. And they're just, we receive testimonies and letters and how people are like, thank you so much for that book. It just really ministered to me right where I was at, and it has really made a huge difference and really ministered with the Lord's touch and the Lord's love and all that. So, those are the first two.
Yes, and you can have a family member who's had a death in their family, or a friend who's had a death in their family, and they don't have any connection with First Baptist, and you would like them to have a Christian perspective of how to walk through this journey through grief. And you can call us or email us and give us their information, and we will send this book series to them. And it just really is meaningful. We go by the name of Journeying Through Grief. Or you can say the four book series.
Yes, I didn't do the same. The name of the series.
And,
sorry.
help us to know what you want us to do. I want to say this too, is that as a church, we come alongside families in all aspects of that death and dying process, and we will come and be with the family during all of that. And if they want somebody to come sit with them while their loved one is getting ready to meet Jesus, Rick and I count that as a privilege. And I can't tell you, it sounds weird, but I love nothing more than to be there when Jesus comes and takes a loved one's hand and takes them home. I know he does that. He says that in his word. And so we'll come because it's frightening to some people. And we want it to be not frightening for both the patient and for the family member. And so we will do that. And that progression, those deaths usually led up to a hospital stay. Or we have so many of our members who are in the hospital. And Dow is going to explain that.
Well, yes, we have a list I put out every day. At least once a day. Sometimes it's twice a day, depending on the volume of changes I've received during the day. Of everybody that we know of that's in the hospital, is in a continued care facility, or that is about to go through surgery. We also include on that list the notification of for sympathies and funerals and births within the church. But we need your help in order to keep that list updated. Let me show you how to get to the list on the webpage, because you don't need to pick up a printed copy. You can find it yourself. It's really very simple. This is our webpage, HoustonsFirst.org. Go to the Find Help tab right here. Tap on that. And under the Pastoral Care heading, go to Hospital Visitation. Scroll down just a little bit. And where it says Latest Pastoral Care Update, it takes you to the list. Everything that's in red is stuff that came in today. Today, honestly, was a very slow day.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. But as you can tell, a lot of them, like Reuben and Constance and Mike, they're not members of our church. They don't have to be a member of our church for us to add them to the list and for us to love on them. But the reality is that knowing the size of our church, there should be a lot more people on that list from Houston's First Baptist. And we need you to let us know who's on the in the hospital, who's about to go in for surgery, or who could just benefit from one of our visits. And what we try to do is provide some comfort, provide encouragement, check in on them and make sure that they're being taken care of, and pray over them. And this is the printed copy. This one I do provide on Wednesdays and Fridays to Lynn at the front desk. The one on Wednesdays, I think, goes to the choir and some of the ones that are that she receives on Fridays. And then the rest of the ones that she receives on Fridays are distributed throughout the church on Sundays. But there are staff members, deacons, Stephen ministers that get this list every day and pray over it and visit folks and are intentional about helping us minister to these folks. Thank you.
But we count on you to tell us who in your class needs to be on that list and who needs to be visited. We love to visit in the hospital. Not everybody likes to visit in the hospital. Amen? Okay. Another way of encouraging people is being able to send them flowers, and our office takes care of that, and Frank's going to tell us about that.
On the pastoral care, we like to, you know, let people know that we're thinking about them and that we care about them, we love them. And so you, as in your Bible study classes, you probably have members who maybe have had a birth or a death, or maybe they're going into the hospital. And so pastoral care can send out on your behalf either a gift basket or flowers or a plant. If it's a funeral, then a funeral spray. Something just to let them know that they're thought about and they're cared about. And so when you know about that, if you notify pastoral care, then we would be doing that on your behalf. You would just have to email us and let us know all the details so that we would have the right information in order to send them, you know, a flower or a plant, or if it's a new baby, you know, we'll send a gift basket or a little teddy bear or a rattler or, you know. And so that is available to you for your members of your Life Bible Study classes and members of the church.
Did y'all know that?
No. The charge?
It comes out of our budget.
It comes out of the pastoral care
budget. But we don't, like, if I called you next week, if somebody, I wanted flowers sent from our Sunday school class,
Sunday school, don't you just love saying it?
If I wanted to send flowers to John Smith from our Sunday school, for our class, I just call you, and we don't have to pay. I mean, it comes out of y'all's budget, really?
Yes.
No, I had no idea.
There's your nugget for tonight.
Yeah.
And the name of your class was from, and if you wanted to say something specific
from
the class, then we would do that. If not, if you don't provide that, then we would put a note in there.
A generic
note. You write your own note.
Yeah. If you don't give it to us, but she has a form and takes it. And I'll say this. Friend works Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but any of us can take the order and take care
That's
of it
awesome.
On Monday through Friday.
So awesome.
Okay. Occasionally, Ruth will pick a widow and send flowers to her. Oh. And we have had the sweetest comments of saying, I haven't gotten flowers in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she just weeps because her church loved her. And so that's been
great. So that's why it's good if they're on that hospital list or the continuing care list. So if you have members, you know, in your class that got sick and now they're in a long-term care, you know, well, periodically, Rick decides, you know, we're going to send flowers to these people. So it's just a great tool to use so that they know they're not forgotten.
And Fran is going to talk to us about another support ministry that touches every life, because so many have had a loss in their life. And so Grief Share is our loss support group.
Yeah. Our Grief Share class meets every Thursday night from 7 to 8:30. It meets room 249. And it's a confidential class. What goes on in Grief Share stays in Grief Share. We don't go out and tell people stories. But it's a combination of a discussion class and videos. The videos are produced by professional counselors. And they touch on all the different emotions someone goes through when they're grieving. And it emphasizes that there's not a right or wrong way to grieve, that people grieve in their own way, in their own time. And all of these emotions, they're going to hit on at one time or another. It's an environment that is safe to share. They get to talk to each other and know that what they're going through is not wrong, it's not different, they're not going crazy, that other people experience the very same emotions and issues that they're experiencing. And it's a time for them to form bonds with other people that are going through grief. And not just bonds, but they form friendships. And they start, as they get better, they start reaching out to the others in the class. Sometimes they come in and they have their heads down and they're just sobbing. And then another couple of weeks, they're able to sit up. They're able to talk a little bit more. And by the time they go through 13 sessions, we can see what a dramatic change has taken place in their lives. And it really helps people. So it's a combination of the video, and then we have the workbooks that are for the 13 different sessions. And they're standalone sessions. They don't have to be done in order. So you can come in at any time and then go through all 13, but you don't have to go through them in order. Does anyone have any questions?
People just go, I mean, it's...
At any point, they can go in.
You don't have to register, and then the next week, or if there's a space.
It's year-round.
No. Yeah, it's year-round. And they can start at session 5, go back all the way through.
So they come back to session 5 again. There's quite a few people there right now that have already gone through the 13 lessons, and they've started through them again. And they're hearing things that they didn't hear before. When they start discussion after the videos, they'll say, I didn't hear this last time, but, you know.
And we have quite a few people who are going through it who are not members of our church. Because it is a nationwide publication and series, but not all churches have it, and so we're one of the few churches in this area that have it. I'm going to say this, we have a resource table here, and we're all going to die. We didn't pick black shirts just because we deal with death all the time. We feel like we look good in black. Black
yes.
is the new orange.
Yes.
But we are all about finishing well in life. And so all of us at any stage of our life need to go through that. And so we do have some resources. One of our, how many of y'all remember Molly, Callie, and
Leon.
Leon was a deacon, very active in our church. Well, after Leon died, Molly was all about getting ready to meet Jesus and going home to be with Leon. And she wrote this little thing all about me. It's all the information you want to leave your family so they know where everything is and what everything is. And so she wrote that. This is something you could have for your class to do. You don't want to wait till they've been diagnosed with a terminal illness.
I like that one. I'm dead now. What?
Yes. And then we have found some others. I love the title of that. I'm dead. Now what? And when I'm gone. But we've just found some others. But Molly's is great. We have these resources in our office all the time. There's some other books here that go along with loss and go along with being diagnosed with cancer and with being a caregiver. So we have those. We can email the list of books that we keep in there, and we will be glad to give those to anyone who needs to. You know, if somebody going through something, you come in and say, give me something for a family who just lost a son in suicide. We've got a book, so we have that in there. I want to tell you a little bit about Stephen Ministry. Stephen Ministry is a 40-year ministry that was developed by a Lutheran pastor who realized he could not meet with everyone going through a crisis more than about 2 weeks.
So he wanted to multiply himself, and he wrote this ministry and trained a few lay men and women in his church. And they were so astonished by what it did for their church that they went back to their pastor and they said, other people need to know that there is a ministry like that. So this ministry is 50 hours of training. We teach you how to be encouraging, how to not give advice, how to not be a counselor, how to be a good listener, and how to point people to finding their own answers in Christ. We meet twice. We have two classes, one in the fall semester, one in the spring semester, along with the midlink on Wednesday evenings, so that we have childcare and food and things like that. The commitment is a big commitment. You commit for 2 years to minister through Stephen Ministry, and during that time, you have one care receiver at a time. And that entails, we have two sections. One is taking part in the hospital and homebound ministry. Another part, which was the original Stephen Ministry model, is meeting one-on-one with a care receiver for an hour to an hour and a half a week. And then on the first and third Monday nights of the month, supervision with other Stephen ministers and the Stephen leaders, so that you hone your skills in being an encourager to someone. And so there's a lot of time involvement in that, but we see lives being changed. And I can't tell you how many have said, you saved my life, because you were somebody who loved me unconditionally, you walked alongside me, you held me accountable, and you saw me through my darkest times. And so Stephen Ministry is a really, really neat ministry that you might steer someone in your class to. Sherry?
Our next ministry is Can Hope. How many of you have known someone that's been touched by cancer? There's a lot of us. We want you to know that there is something that you can send your friends and loved ones to, and you can come with them. It's called Can Hope. We meet the second Monday of every other month. I know that's confusing, but we're working on making it every month. And we meet right now in the Fellowship Center. And our next meeting is February the 8th, and we would love you to join us. Rick Jones is going to be our guest speaker on February the 8th. He has been cancer-free from pancreatic cancer for 25 years, and it's a lot. But if you know someone that's going through cancer, we want them to know that there's someone to walk alongside them that's going to encourage them and pray with them. So if you want more information about Can Hope, see me.
Along with that, several years ago, Pastor Greg and Kelly were touched by cancer when Kelly's mom had cancer, and she came here to the medical center for treatment. And Pastor Greg realized that so many families who come to this wonderful Texas Medical Center in MD Anderson, that they are totally displaced and away from their support system. And so the Lord gave him a vision for our church coming alongside families who were displaced by having homes for them to stay in. And so we have four Hope Houses. And a Hope House is a residence where a family can come and stay free of charge for the duration of their treatment. We have two condos, a mile from MD Anderson, and then we have two garage apartments in homes of church members who've given us their garage apartments and said, use it for Hope House. And they're 3 miles. They're on the inside. No, that's the outside. Inside? That's the inside of the loop. from MD Anderson, right on Holcomb. And they come, and our goal is to be their church home and their support system while they are here. We count on you as Life Bible Study classes to connect them with a group. Put them in your LBS class and let y'all minister to them, as well as our ministering to them too. We even make it easy for you. If y'all want to do a casserole dinner for them,
You bring it to our office, we don't eat it. We take it and we put it in their refrigerator. And having a home cooked meal when the caregiver still wants to eat, when the one getting chemo doesn't want to eat, but having something and that having that love is so important. But we are there to be to them what they'd be at home if they had their own family and friends, close friends at home. We also have 3 cars that have been given to us. They're our Hope House cars. So if a family flies in, they've got a car while they're here. And they are furnished, beautiful homes, and they feel secure. We kind of decorated them to look like beach retreat themes so they could feel like they were on vacation while they were here. And we are in the process of beginning to build Hope Houses, some duplexes, on some of the church's property, and that's something you can really pray about, is that we will find favor with the city of Houston and get everything passed through all of their regulations for being able to build these. Our goal is to build 4 duplexes. That'd be 8 families we could minister to. We have a waiting list almost year-round, and help. We have these 4 completely filled. So we have that. The other thing I want to mention is phase 2, which is our widows ministry. And y'all probably know more about that than most because of our partnering with men's ministry and Men Serve. We have over 400 widows in our church. We have, this office has a relationship with over 200 of them. 2 weeks ago, we cooked chicken spaghetti for 80 widows.
It was good.
Our purpose in having phase 2, and we meet on the second Thursday of every month, is 3 points. Fellowship, because widows, even if they come to LBS, sometimes they're in a class where they were with their spouse, and they feel like a third wheel because there are still other couples in there. And so having a place to go where everybody is the same is so important. I'm looking at 2 of my widows right here. And that's a safe place. It's a comfortable place. It's a happy place, isn't it? Because it isn't a support group. It's a fun place to be. The second thing is nourishment. Most widows sit at a table and eat by themselves. And I looked at a freezer the other day, and I saw all TV dinners. And so that's not real nourishing. So the second thing is nourishment. We cook a home-cooked meal. We cook the meat and a big entree, and then they bring the most wonderful covered dishes, and we feast. We have a lot of volunteers who are now coming to help us because it's family. And so we have some young couples coming to help us on that night. And the third point is security. We want to make sure our ladies know that there is somebody who knows where they are and how they are all the time. And Rick and I are on call. We sleep with our cell phones. I know we're going to get cancer. We sleep with our cell phones on, and they can contact us anytime, night or day, if they feel fearful. And if they fallen, I hope we're on their speed dial. Our names are on their refrigerators so that if something does happen, that's the first place the paramedics will go and look to have someone to call. Some of them don't have family here in Houston. And so those 3 things. And then out of that, phase 2, time and fellowship, Men Serve came to be as a blessing. And so our men have partnered to come and volunteer in the ladies' homes. Last Saturday, we had 164 men volunteering in 30 widows' homes to do their honeydew jobs. And the comments we have gotten are, they said that was the best group of men. That was the godliest group of men. They got more work done, and none of them were on their cell phones. That's huge. And intergenerational relationships are being formed. And that is, we're living God's word, and that's so awesome.
I'm in one of the married young adults classes, and the women are always looking for volunteer opportunities. So how is, do we get involved in something like that as a volunteer?
We do special projects. And so anytime a group of women want to do something, we will find something for them to do. We have a lot of our ladies who we help them understand, because it comes easier from us than it does from their kids, that it's time to think about downsizing and moving into something smaller, getting rid of the responsibility of their homes, or moving to closer to their children. And so we can see it happening in their lives. And because of the trust level that we have with them, they'll listen to us. And so we need young women to go in and help them sort through things, get it ready. And then the guys will come and take it wherever. But we need the ladies, the tender touch of a woman, to understand how hard it is to pry things out of their hands when it's time to downsize. And so if you will let us know your class, and then we'll work with you on getting one of those days set up. Awesome. And I'm sure this is the way the Lord works. He gives us the volunteer, and then the need pops up. And I can't tell you that we have so much fun watching the movement of God in these, because he is implanting in your hearts your desires that are his desires. And then he just channels them to us, and we put them together and watch it go. All right. Dow, homebound.
Homebound. Well, that would actually probably be another great volunteer opportunity,
yes,
for the ladies. Our homebound ministry, the focus, we're rebranding it. It's one of our new, more recent launches. We actually have had two visits, I believe, under the new model, and it's called Taking Church to Our Flock. We want to remind the members of our church that for one reason or another are bound to their homes, that they're still part of the church, they're still loved by the church, and they still have something they can contribute. A lot of these folks may be there because of age, because of different health issues, or they may be young folks that have suffered a traumatic injury. So the goal is to go to them and bring church to them. We've got DVDs, DVD players, CDs of Greg's, Pastor Greg's, David Selves,
and Carol Pierce.
Carol Pierce. I was going to say Carol O'Neill. Carol Pierce's Bible studies. We've got custom-made puzzles so that you can sit down and play with them.
Did y'all see that? That's the church.
Yeah. Actually, Peggy, if you want to... Okay. So we've got those, and we've got a lot of mail-outs that we send out quarterly. But where we're making the big change is we're being more intentional about our visits. We're training up folks. The manual, this is actually the rough draft of the manual, if you want to take a look at it, to go out and spend an hour to an hour and a half once a month with this individual, but to have weekly contact with them. So you visit one week, phone call the next, handwritten letter or greeting card, encouragement card, and a phone call. And then you start all over again, the cycle. So that would be a great one for the women that want to be active in a ministry to be a part of, especially that so many of the folks on the list are women. Right now, I think I've got about 115 names on the list, and about a dozen of them are men. So we need the ladies. We'll train them up to be able to remind these folks that they're loved. And it's the idea is for it to be a fun time. Share a Bible study, have a tea party, go out and have a picnic, bake cookies, share in a Bible study, in a daily devotional, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks.
In our training, I'm going to teach how to put together a traveling tea set. Just for fun, to go in and have a time with a lady. And then
I'll teach them how to use a French press if they don't know.
Yeah, right.
They want coffee. I mean, there are guys who like the coffee more than tea.
And our deacons will, and our ordained ministers will go to their homes and actually have the Lord's Supper with them, share the Lord's Supper with them. You know, those are things that we take for granted. And when we aren't able to do that, it's so important. Okay. Great. You did it with 10 minutes to spare.
Yes. Well,
One more.
Okay, quickly. Our last two ministries that we're going to share tonight, I'm the staff liaison for the Gathering Place in Common Ground. The Gathering Place is for individuals who have early to moderate memory loss, whether it's due to Alzheimer's or if they've had an accident or if they have an illness or something. The first Monday of every month, we do this in our fellowship center here. We have about 40 volunteers that come and hang out with these individuals for about 3 hours, and there's about sometimes 10 to 15 of those loved ones that come. And also during those hours, we have a common ground time, which is for the caregivers. And so this is a time with one of our Christian counselors upstairs from our counseling center, and she comes and just, it's just a support group time is what it is. So they can ask questions, they can talk through stuff, they can get advice, and they can just help. The support that they need as they walk through this with a loved one. And then we have also a lot of resources, but one of those is the 36-hour day. That is very helpful for a caregiver as well. So, like I said, we have more resources. But those are two more of the ministries that we do out of our trip.
I want to say that on the Gathering Place, if you did want to bring your loved one to that time, there is an application kind of interview thing, because we do want to make sure that they are at a place in their illness that we can take care of them.
It would be a very early to moderate situation. And also, and just to mention real quickly what they do there, they'll have a craft for them to do. They'll have an exercise time. They'll have entertainment. They'll feed them lunch. And
I think my favorite thing about, we call it GPS, Gathering Place, is the music involved in it. Because a person with dementia, the last thing to go is music. And we see this so often. We see them just almost hunched over like this. And then we start singing. It can be any kind of music, even Elvis. And all of a sudden, we see them straighten up and start singing words. And do you know that we have seen one of our gentlemen singing? He hadn't had a conversation with his family member in months. And in the middle of singing, he turned to his caregiver and had a conversation and then went back to singing the song. And then after the song was over, he went back and sang.
And a lot of them dance.
Oh, yes, we have.
Yeah.
It is so awesome to see what just that caring time. And I don't know if you said it, we have about 40,
about 40 volunteers.
40 volunteers to 10. The 20 patients.
Yeah.
We don't call them patients. We call them partners who are there. So they are very well taken care of. We have guards on the doors.
we have a lot of men involved.
it's a sweet time. One of the wonderful things about tonight is we get to award a gift card. And so I have to pick somebody for the gift card. So I did it by...
Pick me.
Honey, I picked you 44 years ago.
Greatest day of your life.
So I'm doing the birthday thing. Who has a birthday closest to today? Last session we had two on the same day.
Mine's January 28th.
Okay. Who has a birthday coming up in February?
No,
February. Who has a birthday in December?
There you go.
Both of you? Okay. Who had one? What date was yours?
17th?
6.
Okay. You win! You have to fill this out and hand it to her and she has to get started. We want to have a question and answer time, and we can do it one of two ways. You can ask your question now, or we have handouts on the tables, and we want you to go to the tables and look them over and get some of the handouts. So So I think we'll just get up and we'll go stand at our tables and then you come and ask questions. Thank you for coming. We are blown away.
I just want to make sure. I think I got everyone's signature, but if I didn't, if you didn't sign in, will you please sign in? And I think I have everybody done. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ruth.
If any of you want to pick up any of the handouts, just bring me $5 and you can pick
up. Checks in the mail, Ruth. Right?
I didn't know that was on the website. I mean,
a lot of people don't know what options there are under the Biden Help tab. I would encourage you, when you get home, get online, go to usesfirst.org, and at the very top one that says Find Help, go there and see all the stuff that
you're
doing. I've been to the website many times, but I just
I'll tell you, when I first saw the Find Help, I thought it was like when you hit
help on the computer.
Help, use it. Yeah, but it's not. It's Find Help in prayer, Find Help in ministry, Find Help in this.
Yeah.